Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
Relevant Community Church. I am so excited to be here with you guys this morning and so pumped to be up here for the next couple weeks. I'm feeling really, really good about it. Not nervous at all, just ready to do this. It's going to be awesome, and I think it's going to be super captivating for you, compelling. I think you're going to love it. No, seriously, all love for you guys, all love for this topic. I can't wait to see what God's going to say to us the next couple weeks. But to get us started, I want you to take a look at a real life scenario that happened to me not that long ago.
It's a good day. I'm going to work. It's going to be a great Monday. It's a good day.
Oh, Stacy from HR is here. Oh, Stacy from HR is here. Hi, Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Surprised to see you here. Did you have a meeting with John that I didn't know? Here comes John right now. Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Andy. I'm sorry I wasn't here at the beginning of the meeting. It must have been a surprise to you to come into the meeting unexpectedly with Stacy.
A little bit, yeah.
Caused some concerns for you. Listen, I just need to share with you briefly that we're making some reorg changes, and your role is being eliminated. And so in that process, Stacy's going to be able to hang on the line and share some things with you. Just wanted to touch base briefly before that, though, and just share that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. What you just saw in that video was a reenactment of a real episode of my life that occurred on September 18th, 2023, about a year and a half ago, minus the emojis. They weren't there. It was a typical Monday morning. Got on what I thought was a one-on-one Zoom call with my boss and discovered it was a two-on-one with the lovely Stacy from HR there to tell me about my separation package from the company that I thought I was going to retire from. I was shocked, stunned, blindsided, didn't see it coming. And for anyone who's ever gone through that, you know what a gut punch that is every time. Well, then I did the first thing that you should do when your job's eliminated at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning. I went and got some comfort donuts and a half dozen donut holes to go with my donuts, sort of a donut hole chaser, I guess, and took them to Zerinsky Lake to talk with God about this unforeseen, shocking development in my life. We've all been there. If it's not a drastic job shift, maybe it's a medical diagnosis you're never prepared for, or a seismic relationship shift that hits you like a sucker punch. He found somebody else. She doesn't want to do this anymore. Your kid doesn't want anything to do with you. You lose your dream house. You have to uproot everything and move. The market and your finances tank. That person you love more than life itself dies unexpectedly. It's the most common of human experiences. You're heading this way in life. You're on track. You're heading a certain way. And something happens to completely change your trajectory. Here at Relevant, we call those pivotal circumstances. Life's heading one way, full steam. And something out of the blue, something unexpected, something seemingly out of nowhere changes your course. It's a pivotal circumstance. She said goodbye. Pivotal circumstance. The money runs out way before the month and your car and your water heater go belly up. Pivotal circumstance. You suffer an injury that kills your dream season, pivotal circumstance. We heard Carl's pivotal circumstance. We've got others in here, Baxter's, Teeples. You guys know pivotal circumstance from a year ago. Your temporary victory over addiction hits a roadblock. Pivotal circumstance. Pivotal circumstances are the most common human experience we have, next to the fact that we're all born and we will all die. Everybody faces them. No one's immune. Everybody in this room, everybody listening online, is in one of four places with pivotal circumstances right now. You're either right in the big middle of one, trying to navigate it. You just got through one not long ago, or one's right around the corner waiting for you. Or at least you know somebody and somebody close to you who's going through one. That's life. Jesus told us that's what to expect out of life. He said, in this world, you'll have trouble. Expect it. It's coming. He said the rain and the wind and the storms come on both the evil and the good. It's coming. No one's immune from that health scare, that relational upheaval, that career killer, that finance wrecker, that mind blower, that, man, I did not see that coming. It's waiting for all of us. Are you depressed now? Sorry about that. That was certainly a pivotal circumstance for me on September 18th, 2023. I'll never forget the date, although I just said it wrong. So I sort of blew that. Because in 1 month from that day, I would be a 63-year-old guy who was just told to take his skills elsewhere. My very first thought that morning when John and Stacy said goodbye was, people don't hire 63-year-olds to do what I do. They send them out to pasture. They tell them to ride off into the sunset. But unfortunately, they didn't give me a big, fat retirement package. I wish they would have. I would have said, I am riding off into the sunset. But we weren't at a place at the time that I could retire, so I had no idea what I was going to do next. Now, I know you're doing a couple things right now in your head. First, you're doing the math, and you're thinking, okay, he was 63 in 2023. That's right. I'm going to be 65 this year. I'll save you the brain power to figure that out. And I know the other thing you're doing is you're shocked right now because you thought, that guy, I thought he was in like his late 40s or something. Right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Wow. That's good. That's much better than I thought I was going to go. Great. Well, yeah. Now I don't know where to go. But no, amazingly enough, I was a 60-something upper-level manager at a Fortune 200 company who was facing what for my wife and I was nothing short of a drastic pivotal circumstance. And I've done lots of thinking, lots of talking to God since then about pivotal circumstance. And I ask him the question, God, what do you want to accomplish in these pivotal circumstances? I mean, you're watching all the people you created and love go through these deals over and over and over again. All of us. It's universal. Is there some bigger purpose? Something you want to do in us and through us and around us as we navigate these pivotal circumstances? There's some purpose in the pivotal. And I've concluded after walking with God through countless pivotal circumstances over 40 years of doing life with him, that there are definitely opportunities we have with every pivotal circumstance. Opportunities to see God do something in us and through us and around us. And even a new huge opportunity that I discovered and something new I learned about God that I'll tell you about next week. So come back for that. Be back for week two. But for the next 3 weeks, we want to spend some time talking about finding purpose in the pivotal. And just so you know, the message the next 3 weeks is not going to be that God is causing the pivotal to happen in your life. We have to be careful about assigning blame to God for the pivotal circumstances, although he may be behind some of them. The message is not you have screwed up your life by bringing this pivotal circumstance upon yourself. Although our decisions may be behind some of our pivotal circumstances, you know, beating yourself up is not productive, and it's not how God would want you to spend your energy when the pivotal hits. And our focus is not why do bad things happen to good people like me? Why do bad things happen to good people? They do. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Remember, Jesus said that's how it works. The rain and the storms come on the good and the evil. And we're also not going to explore the why behind pivotal circumstances. You know, why is this happening to me? Why did this happen? Because that's often an impossible question to answer. So what we are going to look at is the what. What could God do in and through and around me in this pivotal circumstance? What could God do? Is there an opportunity to find purpose in the pivotal circumstance and see God do something amazing? That's where we're headed the next few weeks. But to better understand the pivotal circumstance I laid out for you guys and what I learned and how I've grown through it, we have to go back a few weeks before that Black Monday. Three or four times before that day, when I was praying and talking with God or just doing life, I distinctly sensed God talking to me in my heart and my mind. You know, when you're talking with God and you feel like somebody is whispering something in your mind. God's never spoken verbally to me. I wish he would sometime. That would be incredible. But when God and I are talking and I'm listening, and sometimes even when I'm not listening, God will put very strong thoughts in my mind and impressions on my heart. And he did that a few weeks before this pivotal circumstance. I clearly heard God whisper to me in my mind a few times, I want you to go deeper with me. I want you to go deeper. At the time, I was in one of those places with God where I just felt sort of stuck in neutral. Maybe you've been there. Nothing's bad. Everything's okay between me and God. I know he loves me. I love him. It's all fine. It's just kind of a, time. Just, you know, we're doing our thing, but it's pretty flat. You know, it happens in relationships. It's not always candy and flowers and exquisite trips and luscious dinners and Insta stories. So after living life with God for 40 years or so, I was in one of those flat times with him, pretty neutral. And I sense God saying to me a few times over the course of a few weeks, I want you to go deeper with me. I want you to go deeper. And just about that time, I ran across this verse from Scripture written by Jesus' younger brother, James. And it says this. He said, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now I got to stop there for a minute. You may have heard people say, and even heard preachers preach, that based on this verse, you should be full of joy when something hard comes. When you hit something difficult, oh, you should be joyful. Where's your joy, brother? Now, we don't have joy just because something hard comes. That's unreal expectation, not authentic. It's not what James says. He goes on, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know, here it comes. Here's why James says we have an opportunity to experience joy in the midst of heartache. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James teaches us that if we let tests of our faith, trials of many kind, do their work, we'll develop perseverance. You know, that attitude, that steely resolve that says, I'm sticking this out with God no matter what. He's my ride or die, and I'm sticking by his side. He's sticking by mine all through this trial. And here's the best part. He says, when perseverance has finished its work, we'll grow up to be mature and complete in our relationship with God, lacking nothing. Did you catch that? I mean, that's where we could be. Mature, complete, lacking nothing. We'll experience the fullness of a friendship with God. We'll be full of God in us, lacking nothing. We'll go deeper. And there it was. God was showing me in black and white how I was going to go deeper with him. A tough time had to come. Possibly even a pivotal circumstance. If you've been following Jesus and living life with God for any time at all, you know this. For some reason, the way we're wired is that we lean on God and we grow so much more through trials than in triumph. Just how we're wired. We grow up in our faith. We become more mature. We become more complete in our relationship with God when we hit rough patches in life. It's just another reality like death and taxes and pivotal circumstances. So there it was. God had been calling me to go deeper with him, and he laid out the formula live and in color. If you want to grow, if you want to be more mature and complete with me, trial is your way to go. You're going to have to go through something difficult to get there. I'm just full of good news today, all right? Isn't this great? And I had a funny, strange conversation with God about this when I read this. I sensed, you know, God was just saying that this is it. I've been asking you to go deeper. Guess what? Here's your path. I had this conversation with God, and I said, you know, I see you're clearly telling me to go deeper with you, and going through something hard is going to get me there. So I guess I should ask you for a trial, I guess. I guess I should ask if that's the path. I mean, who would ask for you to do something hard? Who would ask for something hard to go through so they could have a better relationship with you? This sounds crazy. And I told God, I don't have the courage to ask for a trial. I wish I did. I know I probably should ask you for something hard to come in my life right now so we could go deeper like you're asking me, but I can't do it. It just seems nuts to ask you to take me through something hard. So I'm sorry, I can't. And I walked away from that conversation with God. I was sad, I was disappointed in my lack of courage, but I couldn't do it. And then within 2 weeks' time, I was sitting at Lake Zirinsky with my donuts and a blank page in my journal, ready to hear from God. What are we going to do now? God, did I mention I'm a 60-something-year-old guy? Do you know this? Is this my signal to start my career as Chick-fil-A grandpa, my dream job, retirement dream job? Is this it? This is where we're going? By the way, total aside, I was at Chick-fil-A this week, and I ran into a relevant family. I won't tell you their names. Last name starts with L, rhymes with Boother, but I'm not going to tell you who they are. I don't want to call them out. So I was there for this pivotal circumstance in this family's life. I'm there, and they're telling me their 13-year-old daughter, this was her first trip to Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I know. I was shocked. This kid is 13. And I said, I am so sorry. I thought your parents loved you. They have been neglecting you all this time. It's a pivotal circumstance for this young. I was there for it. So great. All right. So, let's get back on track. So I was sitting there at the lake, and I started playing some God music on my phone just to get my mind and heart heading in the right way because you know, when something like this happens, man, you can go a lot of ways. We'll talk about that in a second. But so as I munched on my donut holes, the first song that played is that song that we sang earlier, Make Room. And the words of the song grabbed me like never before that morning. It says, this is where I lay it down, every burden. I definitely have one of those. Every crown. I just lost one of those. Every lie, every doubt. Had plenty of those creeping in. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. I'll make room for you, God, to do whatever you want to. It's what the song says. I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. And the song ends by saying this. This is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. You are all I'm chasing now. You, God, you're it. And it was as if God whispered in my mind, again, in that moment, and I wrote these words in my journal. I'll never forget these words from God that I wrote down, that he spoke to me. This is not about a job. It's not about a job. This is about you and me. I wrote that down in my journal. And I wrote, I really sense God telling me, I've got the job thing handled. This is about you and me. This is about you chasing after me. Got the job deal taken care of. You need to learn what it looks like to chase after me alone. Figure out what it looks like to run hard after me only. This is your opportunity to go deeper with me like I've been asking you to do. Well, what a different deal this was going to be for me, because my response to this pivotal circumstance was going to be far different than any I'd ever experienced. Because we all have some typical responses to pivotal circumstances, don't we? I mean, my most normal one would be, God, we got to get on this now, stat. We got to do something. I have a plan I've come up with. I'm ready to execute. I got this with a fast follower that I'm going to take control of this pivotal circumstance. God, you can ride shotgun. That would be awesome. I would love to have you along for the ride. Let's go. We got a plan. Here's another one. God, where are you? Are you even there? Do you even care? That was the response that some of Jesus' best friends had when their brother died. We're going to talk about that more next week. They said, Jesus, if you had just been here, this wouldn't have happened. Where were you? Another typical response. Why is this happening to me? Why me? What have I done to deserve this? That's a normal question that comes top of mind, but camping on that one usually doesn't get us very far because sometimes there's no answer to why you, why this is happening to you. Sometimes hard things just happen, even to good people. Another normal response to the pivotal is, they suck. Is that okay to say that? I guess I just did. They suck, and it's on a slide. So if I have to change it for the second service, I'll do it. They stink. They suck. We have to blame somebody or something for this trial. Whose fault is this? It's not mine. He's going to miss me when I'm gone. She doesn't know how good she had it. That company's going to regret the day they let me go. Yeah, right. They suck. That's a natural, man. We just have somebody to blame. That makes it so much easier if we can just rail on somebody. Here's another one. What's going to happen to me? Common response to the pivotal, usually accompanied by boatloads of fear and worry and anxiety and stress. Not good for anybody. And then there's the peace out God response. If you're the kind of God who would let something like this happen to me, or from what I've heard from people, even cause this to happen to me, supposedly for my own good, I'm out. I don't need or want a God like that. Well, maybe you've responded to pivotal circumstances in your life in one or more of these ways. I sure have. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but this represents a pretty good cross-section of how we can respond to a pivotal circumstance. You know, God, did I mention I'm 60-something? Did you forget this? And I never did like that guy, John. He sucks. I hate that guy. That's not his real name, by the way. Changed it. They'll see they made a big mistake. God, where were you at 8 a.m. this morning? Were you busy with something else? You didn't see this coming? It's caught you off guard. But God grabbed a hold of me in minute one of processing my pivotal and said, this is not about a job. I've got the job handled. I'm not caught off guard by this. I don't even want you to look for a job right now. This is about you and me. It's about you and me. Learn what it looks like to chase after me. You're all I'm chasing now. And I was like, okay. I mean, that seems like crazy talk, but okay. How do I do that? How do I just chase after you? Because I got so many more things I would rather do than just chase after you. That sounds good, but we got to do some other stuff too. Now, so over the next 3 weeks, God took me on this journey that has transformed my relationship with him. It's revolutionized and revitalized my faith like never before. And God took me on this journey where I learned something new and huge about him that I'll share with you next week. So second plug for week two, you got to be here. Bring all your friends, pack this place. But here's the big message for today. We have another saying here at Relevant that we have as much God as we want. We have as much God as you want. You have as much God in your life as you want. When you're going through life and life situations and pivotal circumstances, we have as much God as we want. Jesus famously stated, he said, get this, pay attention to this. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, and I'll come in. I'll eat with you. You'll eat with me. We'll hang out. I'm knocking on the door. I'm not going to bust the door down and force myself on you. I'm waiting for you to invite me in, into your life and into your pivotal circumstance. That's for the follower of Christ who has known Jesus for a month or a year or 50 years. That's true for those of you who haven't put your faith in Jesus yet. by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins, leader of your life. The fact that you're even here, even exploring where God might fit into your life, should be a sign to you that God is knocking. You're not here by accident. He's waiting for you to open the door and invite him into your life and into your pivotal. The offer always stands. I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. And we have as much God as we want. So instead of chasing a job and hitting LinkedIn and Indeed and every other job search vehicle known to man, I went on a search to learn how to chase after God. And that's all. And I suddenly had some time on my hands, so I decided to visit a couple of spiritual mentors of mine in Texas to get their advice and their wisdom. I was like, I need some help for how do I go hard after God in this pivotal circumstance and fight and win against those typical responses I might deploy in a time like this. And over the course of 3 weeks, I learned so much about this opportunity presented by my pivotal circumstance. I had heard one of those mentors of mine talk about praying for 2 hours a day. And I thought, man, that's nuts. 2 hours. I mean, on a normal day, when I was praying and spending time with God, I might squeeze out 20 minutes. You know, if I thought of everything that I wanted to pray for, everything I could pray about, and then I did it again, and then I did it a third time, yeah, I might be able to get 20 minutes. I'm sorry that one of your elders is admitting that spending time with God in prayer was a challenge, but it was. And my mentor taught me that he was spending 2 hours with God by reading massive amounts of scripture every day with an important question on his mind that he needed God to answer. He would just read through lots of scripture. He wasn't doing Bible study. He wasn't like trying to figure out all what it said. He was just like praying through scripture with a question on his mind for God. So he challenged me to try it for 30 days. He said, do a 30-day experiment where I would spend 2 hours a day praying and journaling through massive amounts of scripture with a question on my mind that I needed to see God answer. So I started doing it. I had time on my hands, so I did it. And journaling and praying my way through scripture with one big question at the top of my journal entry every day, what do you have next for me? That was my question every day I wrote at the top of my journal. And then I would have this amazing time with God reading what the writers of scripture laid out for us that with that question in my mind. I started in Psalms and Proverbs, and I read through the Gospel of John and read through Acts, just gobbling it up with this big question on my mind. And I found that what God was doing every day was he never answered my question directly. Yeah, my question, what do you have next for me? I didn't get this blazing word when I was reading the Bible that said, you're going to start working part-time at Home Depot. You know, I didn't get that. Didn't get any of that. No, what I got every day was deep insight into who God is. I was getting to know God better and who he wanted me to become through this. That's hilarious. All right. Cricket emoji. I mean, cricket sound. I love that. That is hilarious. Okay. Man, this thing has gone off the rails so many times. I don't even know. But I was going deeper with God just like he asked weeks before, and I was being transformed more into everything God had created me to be. It was happening in this time. And I want to show you one of my first readings in the book of Proverbs that I had in the Old Testament. It set the tone for this time I was having with God. It's from a man named Solomon, and he wrote, recorded in Proverbs 2, one of the most powerful kings in history. And he said this from Proverbs 2. He said, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. It's one of my first things I read. And he was saying, if I make my ears listen up for God's wisdom, I turn my heart toward understanding the things of God, again, going hard after God, and I call out for discernment, I shout loudly for more understanding, here's what I would get. And it was a little surprising. I'll understand how to fear God, and I will discover knowledge of God. I'm going to gain knowledge of God. He doesn't say I'm going to get all the things on my wish list. He doesn't say I'm going to get a new prestigious high-paying job when it's all said and done. He doesn't say anything here about the answer that I'm going to get to my question. Solomon, the wisest king the world has ever known, says, I'm going to know God better through this. If I take this route, I'm going to know God. I'm going to know God better. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. Little insignificant me and you have an opportunity to get to know the God better. Isn't that incredible? So there it was, being played out in real life in my time with God, a purpose for the pivotal. What God can do and wants to do in all of us and through all of us and around all of us when we face a pivotal circumstance is get to know him better. We have the opportunity to get to know him better. The purpose is going deeper with God. You have as much God as you want, especially in the pivotal. So let's sum it up. How can you experience God more in the pivotal circumstance you're in right now or in the next one that comes or as you're walking through life with somebody who's in the middle of one? How can you encourage them through this pivotal circumstance? How do you seize the opportunity to run hard after God, to chase after him? Here are just a few things. First, open the door. Don't pivot away from God because you think he's done something horrible to you for some random reason. To see this as an opportunity to exercise an I got this attitude. Don't do that. Open the door. Draw close. That's true for followers of Jesus, and it's true for you if you've never put your faith in Jesus and you're in the middle of a pivotal circumstance right now. You can have as much God as you want as you walk through this. Just open the door, invite him in. Ask Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins, leader of your life right now, today. Start this journey of faith and trust with him, getting to know this God who made you and loves you like crazy and is there for you in a pivotal circumstance. So open the door. Give it to God, hands off, keep them off. I preached about this a few weeks ago in our praise series. I'm not going to preach that whole sermon again, but this is giving your pivotal circumstance to God, laying it down at his feet and keeping it there. When you're tempted over and over and over again to pick it back up, to go, God, I got this. Nope, hands off, keep them off. Then find a rhythm of connecting with God over and over and over. Figure out how you can best connect with God through reading scripture, listening to God music, taking a walk in some beautiful place, getting along with some donuts, whatever your rhythm is. Connect with God early and often through your pivotal circumstance. You have as much God as you want. Talk with some spiritually wise people. Let some people who are more mature in their faith than you, let them know what's going on and talk this through. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them, how do you do this? How do you go after God in a pivotal circumstance? How do you navigate this thing? And then as you're finding a rhythm to connect with God, ask God what he wants. Keep asking. Stop and listen. Ask the question, and we got to stop, look, and listen to what God's saying, and then do what God says. Move when he says to move. Take the next step he tells you to take. Stop when he says to stop. If you're having a hard time hearing him, rinse and repeat all of this. Open the door. Give it to him. Hands off. Keep him off. Find a rhythm of connecting with God early and often. Ask God what he wants. Stop and listen. Do what he says. Rinse and repeat. Just do it. I want us to pray together this morning for your pivotal. I've talked to so many people the last few weeks, and just as I talk about what's happened with them, and I hear, man, so many people are in pivotal circumstances. It's just crazy. If I had you stand up, I won't, but if I said, if you're in a pivotal circumstance right now, I bet half of this room easy would say, yeah, oh, that's me. I'm there. So I want to pray for you. If you're a follower of Christ, navigating a pivotal circumstance, or you're walking through one with someone you care about, let's give that to God this morning. Let's pray about it together. And if you're not a follower of Christ, in fact, you're shocked you're even here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you've been here to hear this morning. Hope you'll come back, hear some more. But there's a great chance that God is standing at the door of your heart and your life and your mind, and he's knocking today. I would just encourage and invite him in. Invite him into your pivotal circumstance. Put him to the test. Ask him to take you through this thing and show you what it looks like to do this with God. You've never experienced this before. So I would invite you to do that this morning. invite him in. When we pray, simply by asking Jesus to come into your life, be your forgiver because you know you need one, be your leader because you know the way you're doing it's not working. So let's do that now as we pray together. Let's pray for our pivotal circumstances. God, I want to thank you, first of all, that you're the kind of God that when we go through pivotal circumstances, you're not absent, you're not far away, you're not just looking down and go, oh, look at this, they got another one. No, God, you're there. You're right there. And we have as much of you as we want. God, thank you for being a God that's close, that's just a word away. And God, I want to pray for, I know there's lots of pivotal circumstances going on in this room, lots of pivotal circumstances going on with people online. God, I just want to give those to you. I want to just ask you to put on people's hearts today to give it to you, to invite you in, to get as much of you as they can get as they walk through this pivotal circumstance. God, help them to know you better, to seize this opportunity to know you better as they go through it. God, for those in the room that have never put their faith in you, God, I pray they would do it right now, today. Just simply say, Jesus, I want you to come in. Be my forgiver, my leader. Show me what it looks like when God is there through a pivotal circumstance. God, we love you. So grateful for who you are, for who you are in our life, and that, God, that you are always there to walk through the pivotal with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.